Hello, South Street Baptist Church. My name is Tabitha, and I want to thank you again for allowing me to be with you. I want to honor Apostle Maldonado as well as Prophet Anna Maldonado, my spiritual parents, for believing in me and giving me this opportunity. I also want to thank Teacher John and Teacher Letty, who have made this opportunity as well possible for me. And as always, Pastor Gideon and Pastor Irene, thank you so much for opening up your church and opening up the doors for me to be able to share with your congregation and with your people. It is a privilege and an honor, and I'm so grateful that I am able to bring another word for you guys. And I pray that it is a blessing and that it, again, transforms and changes your heart and your minds and the way that you think about who you are in Christ and about who you are in Christ and who God is to you. Amen. So before we start, let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for another day of blessing, another day of life, another day of breath. We thank you that you are with us. Wherever we go and whatever we do, Lord, we thank you that your hand of protection is upon us. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we enter into your gates with thanksgiving and we enter into your courts with praise. Father, we say this is the day that the Lord has made and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We rejoice in your presence. We rejoice in peace. We rejoice in salvation. And Father, we thank you that we are sons and daughters. We thank you that we have the privilege of being sons and daughters and everything that that entails. Lord, we give you all of the glory and honor for this day in Jesus' name. Amen. So I recently spoke with you guys about identity, a little bit about identity in the end times and the different the things that the Bible says about who you are. And today I want to go in a little bit deeper about sonship and what is the mark of sonship and what does it mean to be a son? Who is a father? Because you cannot be a son without a father. So who is a father? What does it mean to be a father? And what is fatherhood? You know, as you know, as we said before in previous teachings, that today in the world, there is a lack of fathers. There's a lack of fathers as role models, a lack of fathers in the family. And people are looking today for somebody to lead them. They're looking for a father, sons. And when I say sons, I also include daughters in that. I just mean general children, or whether it's spiritual or physical or natural. So sons are looking for somebody to lead them and to guide them in their purpose, in their calling, and in their destiny. And that is something that is lacking today in fathers, even in natural fathers. I do have a spiritual father, somebody that I consider my spiritual father and mother, which is Apostle and Prophet Anna. But I also consider my natural parents a spiritual mother and father. My parents brought me up in the ways of the Lord. They taught me the Bible. They instilled principles, biblical principles and morals into my life. So they are somebody that led me in the Word. My father is the first person that ever confirmed the calling of God on my life. My natural father and my spiritual father was a second person that confirmed what that was, as well as other leaders in the church. So we are looking as people, just as individuals, as humans, we're looking, whether we realize it or not, for somebody to lead us and to take us further, take us from where we're at, where we're stuck at, to go into the next level of our life. And so we're going to look at the relationship between a father and a son, because sonship is the relationship between a father and his son or his daughter. And the purpose of sonship is identity. Sonship is what brings identity into your life. And we mentioned this also in the last preaching, is that my last name is taken after my natural father. And so even in the spirit, your name is taken after your father. So your father is God, our father. God is our father. we are named after him. And I also taught last time that we are not born because of a man. We're not born of because of a woman or the will of a man or woman, but we are born of God. So that brings identity. Sonship brings identity. And why is it that you need identity? Because you need to know who you are, especially in these end times. If you don't know who you are, every wind of doctrine that comes your way, you're going to be confused. You're going to not know who you are. You're not going to, you know where to go or what to do with your calling or your purposes. And identity is something that establishes you in destiny. It establishes you in your purpose and in your calling. So God is looking for sons and daughters. He's looking for somebody that will find their identity in him so that they can fulfill the purpose that God gave them. And a lot of times we see God as a creator, but we don't necessarily see him as a father. And that's something in the Old Testament as well, that we see that a lot of times God was looked at as a creator, as a God that disciplined, but we didn't really see God as a loving father. And if you did not have a good relationship with your natural father, the tendency that we have as human beings is to see God the same way that we see our natural father. So if your natural father abandoned you or left and wasn't there for you, we have that same tendency to see God like that, as somebody that is going to abandon us, somebody that's going to leave us, somebody that we cannot count on. And in truth is that that is not who God is at all. God loves us. He's with us. He's not going to leave us. He is going to protect us. He's going to stay with us. Amen. So whether you know it or not, creation is waiting for you to walk in the fullness of who you are as a son of God, and to walk in the fullness of being a son of God. The Bible says that creation groans or waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. So all of creation at this moment is waiting for you to manifest your identity so that Christ can return to the earth. Amen. So before we get into sonship, we want to talk a little bit about fatherhood. So first of all, what is fatherhood? Say with me, what is fatherhood? Maybe if you're a father, you have your own concept or idea, but I'm going to give you what I have, okay? It's not necessarily different from what you might know or believe. Think of it as an addition, if it's anything different. Amen? So fatherhood is a continual state of being a father. So once you have children, you're going to be a father, even when you grow up. I might be grown up and moved out of the house, but my father is still a father. He is in a perpetual state of being a father. He has, his seed caused me to have life. His seed gave, entered the egg of my mother, and it gave me life. Amen. So my father, from the moment of conception, he began to be a father, and he will be in a perpetual state of fatherhood until he dies. And then even after that, amen. Because even if my father is not on the earth, I am still his daughter, and I will still be known as his daughter. So a father is continually being a father. And when a father is continually being a father, the way that a father should be, then there is going to be progression between the relationship of the father and the child. As a child, I have a relationship with my dad, with my father, and I should not stay the same as a result of that. I should be growing and maturing. So the same way in the natural that a child is young, and the father comes and begins to teach and train, and that child grows. It is the same way in the spirit. That child didn't stay young as a child. He didn't stay immature, but he grew up, he learned. And it's the same in the spirit. We start as a babe in the spirit, drinking spiritual milk, but then we eventually get to a place where we're eating solid food, solid meat, and we're maturing and growing. So we should always be progressing with our relationship with God as our father. So maybe you've been stagnant in your relationship with God. So this is a time where you can challenge yourself to recover that relationship by getting in the Word, by spending time in prayer, meditating on the Word, seeking God's face, and just redefining, reconnecting your relationship with God. Amen. So what is fatherhood? When we say the term father, it means that there's a relationship in place to establish the identity of a child. And we mentioned that before, as my last name, I am identified by my father, by who my father is. And you, as a son or daughter of God, are identified by who your father is, whether you realize it or not. Okay? And who is it that is recognizing you? Satan is. When Satan sees you in the spirit, he recognizes you as a son or a daughter of God. So if you have a personal relationship with Jesus, you've asked Jesus into your heart, and you have that personal connection, that personal relationship, you now become marked with the seal of God, with the seal of heaven, with the seal of the blood of Jesus, and the enemy recognizes you as a son or a daughter of God. And the whole job of the enemy is to keep you from recognizing your identity and walking in the fullness of it, because if you do, he will be running scared. Let me tell you, Satan will be running scared the moment you recognize who you truly are. So God, as we said before, God in the Old Testament was seen more as a creator than a father. And then Jesus came into the picture under a new covenant, and he showed the disciples how to pray. They said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And he said, pray like this, our Father. So Jesus brought that relationship with God. He brought that intimacy with God that you didn't see in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, you begin to see God as a loving father, as somebody who cares for you, somebody that is your source, that is your life. Amen. So who is a father? So a father is somebody that instructs, that teaches, that trains up their children. A father is somebody is just more than a seed donor. As a father, you're not just donating a seed so that a life can take place. As a father, you are a source. You are now a leader. You are a head. You are somebody that is guiding and bringing direction. You are somebody that can bring clarity and focus for your children that maybe they're out of focus. And so as a father, that is who you are. You're a source, you're a protector, you're a progenitor. You are somebody that is out there. You go ahead of your children so that you can prepare a way for them. You are a way maker. Just like God is our way maker, you are a way maker for your sons and daughters. And why is it that we need fatherhood? Say with me, why do we need fatherhood? We need fatherhood because fatherhood is the most effective way of transferring a generational blessing. You know, my father has been blessed. And when I go visit my dad and my mom, I just went recently in August for my father's birthday. And anytime I go, before I leave and I get in the car, because I drove from Florida to New York, where my parents live, before I left, I leave, I always say, Dad, pray for me and bless me. Bless me with the Father's blessing. And he always prays over me, both him and my mom, and they bless me. And I go out with that blessing of a father. The blessing of a father can change and transform your life. It brings healing. A father's blessing can bring healing. It can bring deliverance. It brings life where there's been death. Amen. So you need a father that walks in his fatherhood so that he can transfer blessing, a generational blessing to you. We need fatherhood so that children can start on the shoulders of their father. As a father, you want what's best for your kids, and you don't want them to start where you started. So as parents, you work hard to build something that for your children, to leave as a legacy, to leave as an inheritance for your children. And when that happens, it's like you are giving your kids a leg up on everybody else. Instead of having to start in the bottom, they're starting on your shoulders. And then when they have children, their children are going to start on their shoulders. And so they're already further along than where you began. And so that's what fatherhood is for. It's so that your children don't have to start at zero. And it's the same way in the spirit. I have a spiritual father, both my natural and a spiritual father who is imparting to me at this moment, and spiritual mother. And I didn't have to start at zero. I didn't have to start where they started, with nothing, with no ministry, with nothing. I'm able to start on their spiritual shoulders with it. So I have an advantage over somebody that is a baby Christian, because I'm starting on my spiritual parents' shoulders, and I'm able to take what they've received, the revelation that they've received in other areas, in different areas in the Word of God, and I'm able to stand on their shoulders. Older. And I'm able to take it and run with it. You know, it's like in a race, there's somebody at the beginning that has to start everything off, and they have the baton and they have to pass it on to the next person. Well, I'm the second or even the third in line to get it. So I am further along in the race than other people might be. So that's a good way to look at it. We need fatherhood. We need fatherhood so that errors of the past are not repeated. If you are a father, that you are teaching and training your children up in the way that they're going to go, the Word of God says they're not going to depart from it. So the mistakes that you made in the past, your children are not going to make them. Why? Because of fatherhood. Why? Because with fatherhood, you are going to be able to give direction and advice and wise counsel to your children so they don't make the same mistakes that you did. And they're going to start even farther than you did. Amen. Isn't that awesome? And it's the same way in the spirit. We get to start ahead. We need fatherhood for the transmission of blessings. When you are under a father, under a spiritual father, under God, and you are under his fatherhood, you receive double blessing. And we see that with Elijah and Elisha. Elisha said to Elijah, you know, but when you leave, I want to receive double. And Elijah said, if you are with me when I'm taking away and you see me, then you will receive what you have asked for. And the moment that Elijah was taken up into heaven in a whirlwind, Elisha, he didn't cry out, hey, give me a double, a portion, but he cried out, Father. And so he had that, he had a father relationship. So he had fatherhood, he had paternity. And he received a double portion as a result of that relationship that he had with God. And then maybe you don't necessarily have a spiritual father other than Pastor Gideon or your pastor, maybe if you're watching from a different church. But God is your father, and he is going to release over you a double portion anointing as a result of you walking in identity and purpose. Amen. Fatherhood imparts legacy and inheritance. You know, my parents are going to leave me an inheritance, and we have a spiritual inheritance through the blood of Jesus. Amen. And that's an inheritance of healing, an inheritance of salvation, inheritance of life, of eternal life, of Zoe life, abundant life on earth, and also of eternal life. And we need fatherhood because when a father affirms you, your heart becomes established. Your identity becomes established. You become established in who you are. It doesn't matter what people will say about you or say to you. You know who you are, and you're not going to be affected. Amen. All of Jesus's teachings were based on the fatherhood of God. Isn't that awesome? So let's get into the marks of sonship. How do you know if you're a son, or how to walk in sonship, that spiritual sonship with God or with man? So I'm going to mention just three marks of sonship. It's kind of a tongue twister. I say sonship three times fast. Number one, obedience. Say with me, obedience. John chapter 12, verse 49, it says, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. So one of the marks of sonship, of being a son, is that you walk in obedience, that you're obedient to what God tells you. I'm obedient to what God tells me, but I'm also obedient to what my spiritual father tells me and what my natural father father tells me. So I am a daughter to Gary Tice because I walk in obedience. And I am a spiritual daughter to Apostle Guillermo and Prophet Anna because I walk in obedience. I walk under submission to their authority. And that is what walking in obedience means. It means submitting yourself to the delegated authority that God has placed over you. And if you want authority in the spirit, you first have to submit to authority. When Jesus sent his disciples out two by two, they came back and they said, Jesus, the most amazing things happened. Even the demons submit to us. And Jesus said, you know what? It's not about demons submitting. Amen. But he said, you have to be under authority. And there was the centurion that came and he said, you know what? My daughter is sick or my child is sick or my servant. I don't remember. I don't have it written down here. But it said, you know what? You don't need to go to my house, but all you have to do is speak the word. And Jesus said, what great faith. And that centurion said, I am a man under authority and therefore I understand authority. So just speak the word and it's going to happen. So we walk. If you want delegated, if you want authority, you have to submit to authority. And back to Jesus' disciples, they submitted to Jesus' authority. And that is why they were able to cast out demons. Even though Jesus said that's not the most important thing, he said, you know, the most important thing is that your name is written in the book of life and that you have a personal relationship, kind of to paraphrase. But they submitted. The enemy has to submit to the authority that you have if you are under authority. Amen. John chapter 5, verse 19, it says, then Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son of Man, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he doth, these also doeth the Son likewise. So Jesus was saying, I'm walking in obedience to my Father. I'm not going to do anything he didn't tell me to do. I only do what my Father tells me to do. And also in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, it says, he learned obedience by what he suffered. Though he were a son, he learned his obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. So Jesus obeyed through suffering. And that's going to happen to you as well. You know, the Bible says that we have to follow in the suffering of Jesus. And if Jesus suffered and that brought him to a place of obedience, of learning obedience, then that means we as well will have to suffer. And what that suffering will do is it will align us and it will bring us into a place of obedience and alignment to God. Amen. Nobody wants to suffer, but it says he learned obedience by what he suffered. So maybe if there's something that you're going through in your life, take stop and take a look at it. Are you walking in obedience? Are you suffering because you didn't obey what your leader or your spiritual authority told you to do? Are you suffering because you were disobedient? You did what you wanted to do instead of submitting to the man or the woman of God and doing what it is that they asked you to do. Just a thought. Amen. Another mark of sonship is relationship. Say with me, relationship. Once a father recognizes and initiates a relationship, it is the responsibility of the son to reciprocate it, okay, or to pursue a relationship. It's not the father. He's a father. He goes and he's with his son and he is he's saying, hey, you're my son and I love you. And now the son has to reciprocate that relationship. So the father is pursuing the son and you have to reciprocate. And today God is pursuing you as a father. He's pursuing you as a loving father. And he's got his arms wide open waiting for you to reciprocate that relationship by spending time with him, by reading his word, by spending time in prayer, meditating on his word, and just being with him. One of the things that I do personally, some people might think it's weird, but there's moments, you know, that I'm alone in my house And I will go and make two cups of tea or hot chocolate, or I don't drink coffee, so it's either tea or hot chocolate. And I put one cup on one across the table in one chair, and I'll sit there with another cup, and I'm drinking tea, and I am imagining that Jesus is sitting there drinking tea with me. And I am talking to him. I tell him about my day. There's times that I cry. There's times that I laugh. And the best part about those moments is that even though Jesus might not physically be there where I can see him, he responds to me. And there's times that I feel his love and I feel his presence so thick. There's times that I weep and I cry just because I feel his presence and I feel his love. And there's times where I laugh because, you know, I feel like I could hear, even in my mind, like even what God would respond or how Jesus would respond to what it is I'm saying. You know, like, oh, daughter, again, really? And the best part about that is that Jesus never drinks his tea or hot chocolate, so I get it. So I get two cups. I get double portion, amen? So God wants us to have a reciprocal relationship. A relationship is not just one-sided. A relationship is two people. It is a communication. It's dialogue. It's not a monologue where you're the only one speaking. You know, like right now, I feel like I'm just doing a monologue because there's no one else here and it's just me speaking. And this is not a relationship. A relationship would be that there's somebody else speaking back and communicating back to me. What are their thoughts? What are their feelings? What are their emotions? And that's what God wants with you today. He wants that one-on-one personal relationship with you. Amen. And so we have to transition from being a servant to being a son. A lot of times what happens with relationship or people in church, they come and they start to serve and they're serving and they become servants, and that's great. There's nothing wrong with serving in the house of God. But one thing that happens is that we forget to transition from being a servant to being a son or a daughter. And we stay in that mentality of serving, 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 instead of creating that relationship. I'm serving God. I'm doing this for God. I'm working for God. And we become the Martha instead of the Mary, where we sit at the feet of Jesus and we have that relationship with him. And so anointing. The anointing is for the servants, but the glory of God is for the sons. And I don't know about you, but I want to walk in the glory of God. As a servant of God, I have an anointing, but I want more than just anointing. I want to walk in the glory of God. Why? Because the glory of God is the presence of God. It's the manifested presence of God here on the earth. And that is more precious than anything else that we could ever have. Amen. What is the third, another mark of sonship? The third mark of sonship is honor. Honor is the currency of any relationship. I honor my father, and that's like a currency. And there's times where my dad honors me. He loves me. It's honor is a way to show that you love. And there are a lot of different ways that you can honor people. You can honor with your words. You can honor with a financial blessing. You can honor with your actions. And just the way you honor people, you honor God. You honor God with your words. Through your worship and your one-on-one time with him, you honor God maybe by sowing a seed into the ministry that you belong to. Or you can honor God through your actions by serving his people and serving the man or woman of God that you are submitted under. Amen. So honor is the value that you assign to a person. So if you value God, you're going to honor them. If you value Pastor Gideon Irene and Pastor Irene, you're going to honor them. If you value your family, you're going to honor them. If you value your husband or your wife, what are you going to do? You're going to honor them. You're going to honor them with maybe by giving them a gift or finding out whatever their love language is. That's a whole other message, but finding out what their love language is and ministering to them and honoring them through their love language. Amen. So when you do not know the value of something, you're not going to honor it. If you don't know God's value in your life, you're not going to honor him. You're not going to do anything. You are just going to be a pew warmer. All you're going to be doing is warming the bench on a Sunday. And God has more for you than that. Amen. So obedience is the master key to heaven's favor. Amen. And we talked about obedience a little bit before, but obedience also opens up the door of favor in the area of honor, okay? So a son lives in the grace and favor of his father as long as you honor him. So if you want grace and favor from God, you have to honor God. And again, we told you there's different ways you can honor God. And so as long as you're honoring God, you're going to walk in that favor and in that grace. Amen? So let's talk about the difference between a servant and a son. We just mentioned it. You know, sometimes we're serving in God's house and that's great, but there's a time where you have to stop being Martha and you have to go to be Mary and sit at the feet of Jesus. So a servant often strives for promotion while a son will build the kingdom with his father. So God is calling you to build his kingdom as a son or as a daughter. And a lot of times what happens is we start to serve and maybe we're serving because we have ulterior motives. We want to be noticed by our leader, by our pastor. And so what it is that we're looking for is to be promoted or to be patted on the back instead of doing it because we just simply love God and we love his people. And we want to help God build his kingdom. And that's what that means. And also, sometimes a servant will do things out of insecurity. In other words, a lot of times we're afraid that God is going to punish us. And so we do things for God or we serve God because we don't want others to see us as lazy in the kingdom or, you know, we want others to think that we're important. So we do things out of insecurity and we're afraid that God is going to punish him, while a son does things out of identity because he's secure in his identity of who he is as a son. Amen. Another difference between a son and a servant is that a servant must earn his privileges while a son has rights. So if a servant, yeah, you have certain privileges, you know, maybe you serve in the food bank. And so you have a privilege where you might get some food before you leave the food bank. Whereas a son doesn't have to wait to the end. A son can go straight to the refrigerator, grab the food that he wants, and goes and eats it. So why? Because he has rights. He has rights as a son. Another right, healing is a right. Healing is not a privilege that you have to earn. You don't have to earn God's grace. It is your right as a son of God. You don't have to earn prosperity. It is your right as a son of God. Amen. So when we come to the revelation in the spirit that we are a son or a daughter, we can command in the spirit. Why? Because we speak from a place of identity. We speak from a place of insecurity. And so God is calling you to walk in the security of your identity of who you are in him. Amen. How do you know if you are a true son of God? Number one, you are led by the Spirit of God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God." And some versions say the sons of God. So if you are led by the Spirit of God, you're renewing your mind. You're led by the Holy Spirit instead of your flesh. You are a son of God. You're being led by the Spirit. That's how you know if you are a son, a true son of God. If you are a true son of God, there has been a shift from servanthood to sonship. And what that means is that you're not just doing things to be noticed, but you begin to take ownership of your father's business. My father is a builder. He builds houses. And his desire was always to have one of my three brothers take over the business eventually, but neither one of them wanted to. And now I live separate, and I have found that I love to build. I love to do things with my hands. And sadly, if my father had instead picked me as the girl, which he didn't, but God had other plans. Obviously, I'm not hurt. I'm not offended or anything like that. Then it would have been Gary Tice and family instead of Gary Tice and Sons. Gary Tice and Sons building or construction, whatever it was he had as I grew up. So, we could take ownership. I would have taken ownership of that. Thank God he had other plans. God moved me here. He pushed me further into my calling and my destiny. Amen. But I took ownership of my father's business and my father, God. In this moment, I am taking ownership of his business by advancing the kingdom, by healing, bringing deliverance, bringing salvation to those that are lost. Amen. How do you know if you are a true son? Number three, because sons of God will manifest the glory of God. In Romans chapter 8, verse 19, we mentioned this at the beginning, but it says, for the creation we wait in eager expectation for the children or the sons of God to be revealed. In this moment, creation is waiting with expectation for you to walk in the fullness of who you are in Christ, to walk in the fullness of the authority that God has delegated you through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. You can bring something to earth. Earth is waiting expectantly. Amen. And if you are a true son, when you look like your father. And what does that mean? It means you have the DNA of your father. It means, like Jesus said, I don't do anything that my father doesn't tell me. So you're doing what your father is doing. How do you know if you're a true son? When you do what your father does. When you are healing the sick, you're laying hands on the crippled and they're walking, the blind eyes are seeing, deaf ears are hearing. Jesus said in the word of God, he said, greater things than these will you do? So you and I are called to do even greater things than what Jesus did. And sometimes we read the Bible. I don't know about you, but I do. When I read the Bible, I'm in awe of everything that Jesus did. And I'm like, wow, how can I do that? Who am I? And Jesus reminds me, you are my son. You are my daughter. You look just like me. Therefore, you act just like me. I don't know about if you have children, if you've ever had your children copy you. You know, I wanted to copy my parents when I was younger. You know, you want to dress like them. You want to walk like them. You want to talk like them. And when I was younger, we would play with my brothers or sisters. They would get annoyed, but you would copy them. Everything they say, I would repeat. You know, they say, stop it. And you say, stop it. He's like, don't do that. Don't do that. Mom, mom. You know, and I became a replica of them. And that's what we should be on earth. We should be a replica of God. Just like Jesus on earth was a replica of God, we are called to be the replica of God on the earth. And when we are walking in that, it shows that we are true sons of God. Amen. There's a couple of obstacles. Now, we're sons and daughters, but there's obstacles to walking in your identity and receiving your inheritance. So what is an obstacle? The number one obstacle is disobedience. Disobedience is an obstacle to walking in your identity, and it's an obstacle of receiving your inheritance. If you do not submit to the authority of your father, you're on your own. If you don't submit to God's authority, you're on your own. And there's a lot of people that I've heard that say, you know what? God is my father and I don't need to submit to any church. Well, guess what? Even the word of God says you have to submit to the delegated authority. So maybe you're in church right now and you're like, you know what? I don't need to submit to my pastor, to my leader. I submit to God. Well, guess what? You are in the wrong. You are on your own. God cannot be with you. Why? Because you are not submitting to authority. If you don't submit to authority, you cannot have authority. So I challenge you today, if you have been fighting against your leader, fighting against your pastor, trying to do things your own way, doing it on your own, repent today, ask God to forgive you, and begin to submit to the delegated authority God has placed on you. Stop walking in disobedience. So disobedience is an obstacle. And if you don't submit, then God, you're on your own. Another obstacle to receiving your inheritance is walking according to the flesh. So when you are in the flesh, obviously you're not walking according to the Spirit of God. And the Word of God tells us to walk according to the Spirit. Another thing that will keep you from receiving your inheritance or the blessing of identity or walking in identity is independence. Say with me, independence. A son is supposed to be totally dependent on their father. Amen. I, as a daughter, am totally dependent on God. And the moment that you think that you can do things on your own, you become independent. And that is what happened with Adam and Eve in the garden. They thought that they could be independent from God. They thought that they could know what God knew. They thought that they could be like God. And what happened there? They were separated from the presence of God. Independence will separate you from the presence of God. And I don't know about you, but I don't ever want God to turn his face away from me. I don't want anything in my life to separate me from what God has. Amen. Another thing that will keep you from your inheritance and walking in the fullness of your identity is that you have personal ambition and wrong motives. So what is your reason for being in church? What is your reason for wanting to serve? Is it to be seen? What is the reason behind you are behind doing what it is that you're doing? And I challenge you to kind of be introspective and to take a look at yourself in this moment. And look to see what is the motive of your heart. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you, to reveal the motive of your heart. And if there is anything in you that any wrong motive, and ask him to create in you a clean heart. Amen. So we have to walk according to the Word of God. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know what your motive is today. I don't know why you do what you do. I don't know even why you're in church. Maybe you're in church because somebody dragged you there. Maybe you're in church because your parents forced you to be there. And maybe you're there because you feel obligated out of a sense of religious duty to be there. But today is a day that God is saying to you, I want you to change the motive or the reason why you're here, why you're in church, why you're doing what it is you're doing, from being just a servant and serving God in an area to being a son or being a daughter. And today, God wants to change your heart. He wants to heal your heart. He wants to heal your mind. He wants to change your perspective. He wants you to walk in the fullness of what he has for you. He wants you to walk in purpose and in destiny. Amen. So I want you to lift up your hands right there where you're at. I'm going to pray, and I want you to repeat this prayer with me. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I repent if I have walked in selfishness, if I have walked and done things with wrong motives, with wrong intentions. And Lord, I repent if I have made myself independent from you. Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for separating myself from your presence. Lord, forgive me for walking in disobedience. Lord, I repent. Lord, if I have walked according to the flesh instead of according to the Spirit of God, today I repent. Lord, I choose to change my ways. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for bringing revelation into my life. Thank you for opening up my eyes. Today I decide to walk according to the Spirit of God. Today I decide to go from being a servant to being a son. I will walk in sonship. Say that again. Say, I will walk in sonship because I am a son or a daughter of God. Say, I am a child of God. And I will walk in the fullness of what you have for me, Jesus. Lord, I thank you that I have rights. You have rights. You have rights. Say, Lord Jesus, I receive the rights of a son. I receive the authority that has been delegated to me. Lord, today I decide to help you build the kingdom, not because I have to, but because I want to. I'm doing it because I love you, Jesus. Lord, I declare that today I will do things out of identity instead of out of insecurity. Lord, I will do things because I love you, because I love you. I love you. In Jesus' name. Now just lift up your hands and let the presence of God begin to enter the room where you're at. Let the presence of God begin to come in and begin to change, begin to heal, begin to transform the way that you think. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I release your presence over your sons and your daughters where they're at. Lord, I declare right now that their rights are released to them as they step into sonship, as they cross the line from being a servant to being a son or daughter. Lord, they step into rights. Healing is their right. If there is anybody that is sick in their body, today I declare healing right now. I release healing over you in the name of Jesus. If there's anybody that is struggling financially in their finances, Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I release abundance. I release prosperity. The word of God says that you have given us the ability to create wealth. Father, I declare that over your sons and daughters. Those of you that have a business, I declare creative ideas for your business, and I release the ability to create wealth over you. I declare those who do not have a business, but you have been wanting to start a business. Lord, I release right now over you a creative idea, an idea of something that people need, and a creative idea to create wealth, not just to create wealth for you, but to create wealth to expand the kingdom. The privilege of abundance is not just for you, but it is to expand the kingdom of God. Lord, I release the wealth of heaven, the abundance of heaven. And those who have family members that are not saved, Lord, your word says salvation is a right for those that love you. Lord, I declare Joshua over their families that said, me and my house will serve the Lord. Father, I release that word. Those who have family members that are not saved, Lord, I release salvation. There's somebody that your children came to church when they were younger, but as they got older, they separated from church. They backslid. They walked away from God. Salvation is coming to your children. There's a son. Somebody has a son in particular who walked away that you have been worried about, that you've been praying for. And today God says, I am pulling him. I'm pulling him back. I'm drawing him back by my presence. I'm drawing him back by my power. Then God says to you, just continue to pray. Continue to love them. Don't judge. Don't judge. God says, don't judge that son, but love. In the place of judgment, release love. In the place of judgment, release joy, release peace, release the love of God. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I speak salvation over every family member that is unsaved, every person that has a family member that is lost, that is living in the world, whether it's a mother, a father, a sister, a brother, a son, a daughter, an aunt or an uncle, it doesn't matter who it is. Lord, I release salvation right now. I release it over them. I release it in the spirit. I don't have to be in the UK to lay hands on you. I don't have to be in your house to release that blessing, but I release it right now in the through the TV, through the airways, in the spirit. We are connected by spirit. We are spirit beings, and we're connected by the spirit of God, and I release it right now. I release the assurance of spirit. salvation over you. I release the assurance of salvation over your family members. Father, I bless your sons and daughters with salvation. I bless their homes with salvation right now. And wherever there has been turmoil in their homes, in their house, in their family, in their relationships, Lord, I release peace. I hear God say that there are some of you that have been in turmoil, inner turmoil, and even turmoil in a relationship. And God says, I'm going to bring peace. He says, begin to walk in the fullness of who you are as a child of God. And watch the peace of God reign and rule in your house. It is your right to have the peace of God. Father, I release it right now over your sons and daughters. And Father, I release a blessing over them. I thank you for their lives. Lord, I thank you for the time that they have given me, that they have allowed me to minister, that they have allowed me into their homes. Lord, I ask that your presence would be with them wherever they go in this week and everything that they do. Lord, that your favor and the grace of God would be with them as they walk in their identity of who they are as a son or daughter of God. Lord, I thank you for their lives. I thank you that in the Spirit, they are my brothers and my sisters, because as a daughter of Christ, they're a son or daughter of Christ. That makes us a family. We are one. We are becoming one as you and the Father are one. And Lord, I bless them. I thank you for them. I cover them with the blood of Jesus. I bind every spirit of sickness and destruction in their lives, and I release health and healing in the name of Jesus. Amen. I still feel the presence and the power of God, but I know that time is limited. So I bless you. I thank you again. I thank Pastor Gideon and Pastor Irene for this privilege. And I pray that you have a blessed week. Go with God.